what is the new assignment?
We're, again, this is the how many people did not pick up copies of the assignment yet? Okay, I'm going to pass around copies of the assignment. So let me pass these things around. I distributed these last class. And like I say, these 2 days have shifted back by a class period. So the problem is, we're now talking about, several areas where you can find efficient algorithms, how to tell you how to do efficient dynamic programming algorithms. Today, this assignment is testing.
White paper.
What? White paper. Okay. white paper is not good, but there should be other copies circulating. I think there's enough. The purpose of this assignment is to give you some practice doing search-based programming or doing exhaustive search kind of computations. And what you have to do is to write a program to solve a problem called the max cut problem. This is an important algorithm problem, well-studied algorithm problem, where you are given as input a graph. Let's take a look at the graph. Tell you what, let's make a graph a tree. You guys know about trees, right? Here's a tree. And every vertex
These
has
a blank
a
also.
What?
These are blank also.
Okay, I'll collect the blank paper over there. You do that. Every vertex has a name, let's say. Hey, let's call them, name them 1 through N. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Here I've got a tree on 7 vertices. Your job is to take as input a graph. Here it happens to be a tree. And you are to partition the vertices into 2 sets. Partition then means that you put every vertex is either on the left set or the right set, not both, and every subvertex is on one side, such that you can cut the maximum number of edges. We say that a vertex is an edge is cut if it stands between different parts of the partition. Okay? So let's say here we have a left side and here we have a right side. How many trees' edges are there on that 7-vertex tree? 6. Okay, suppose I did the partition just for the sake of it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. How many edges get cut? Okay. Well, 1 goes to 2. The edge 1, 3, does it get cut? No. 2, 3 doesn't get cut. 3, 4 gets cut. 4, 5 does not get cut. 5 and 6 does not get cut. 6 and 7. Okay? This does not look like a maximum cut. Okay? I think there's a way to cut more. Can someone give me a partition of the vertices that cuts more than one edge? Okay? Shouldn't be too hard, actually.
2, 5, and 7.
What?
2, 5, and 7.
You want to put 2, 5, and 7 on one side.
3, 5, and 7.
3, 5, and 7 on one side. And then on the other side, you want to put 1, 2, 4, and 6. Okay, does that, how many edges does that cut? It doesn't, it cuts 1, 3. It cuts 2, 3. It cuts 3, 4. It cuts 4, 5. It cuts 5, 6. And it cuts 6, 7. That cuts every single edge, right? Is that the maximum possible cut for this graph? Yes. Okay. But in general, I'm going to give you a graph that is not a tree. First of all, is it clear that every tree, you can always cut all the edges if you wanted? Can anyone give me a tree that you can't cut all the edges? Or an argument that you can, in fact, always cut all the edges in a tree if you wanted? Okay. Yeah. Well, if it has a square, is not a tree, right? A tree is, so a square is a square, right?
I mean, I don't mean a square, but it's just a square dot, and then you have one line from.
With 4 dots, if I want to make a tree on it, I can only make a U or a. Sort of a star, okay? And in this case, I claim that I actually can always cut, all the edges, right? If I had that as being one of my subsets, I could cut all of them. If I had this as one of my subsets, I could cut all of them. In fact, actually, I want to claim you can always cut every edge of a tree. Okay, and we'll in fact show that later on. Does anybody have a cute idea why? Or?
It's because all trees are bipartite.
All trees are bipartite. We'll talk about bipartite. Do many people know what the word bipartite means? Some people don't know. And most people don't. Bipartite means that you can find a way to color the edge of the vertices with two colors, such that every edge crosses different vertices, different colored vertices. So we dial this vertex red, and this vertex blue, and this vertex red, and this vertex red, and this vertex blue, red, blue. Okay, we have a two coloring because every edge spans things of different colors. And a graph that has that property is called bipartite. And in fact, so any bipartite graph, because you can two color it for all the edges, those colors define the two sides of your partition, right? So any bipartite graph you can color in, you can cut all the vertices. Everybody agree with that? Cut all the edges. But in general, the problem is hard. So now suppose, let's try one more example here, just to make sure everybody understands. Let's construct another graph and see if we can find a maximum cut point. What would be a good graph to construct? Let's say we make it look like this. This looks like one that I kind of like. Let's say we do it like this. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Can you cut all the edges of that graph?
Yes.
Okay. I don't think you can. And I think I can prove it to you. What about this cycle of three? Let's say you just want to cut these three edges. Is there any way to cut all three of those edges? Okay. Basically, somehow one vertex is going to have to be on the left, either two or three are going to be on the other side, or one or two will be on the other side. If all three are on the left, you didn't cut any of them. If these two are on the right, well, you cut those, but you didn't cut that one, right? So can we cut every edge except one of them in the graph? I think we can. Does anyone want to propose a partition that does it? 2, 4, 6 versus 1, 3, 5. Okay, and do we do that? We cut 1, 2. We cut 2, 5. We cut 2, 3. We cut 3, 4. We cut 3, 5. We don't cut 3, 5. And 5, 6 we do cut. So this is a partition that cuts all but one edge. And your goal is, given a graph, to find the partition that cuts the most number of edges. Okay, that is the purpose of your program. Any questions about that? Yeah.
Can you say that if you have things at least, going to look at the total outer side, the graph coloring, which I just remember from the five-part, I can say.
Right.
Can you say that you have to use at least three colors to color the graph? But there's actually correlation because when you partition two sets, you can't get every possible edge.
Well, it's true to say that a bipartite graph is one where every edge is going to be cut. Okay, there's several different ways you can define what a bipartite graph is. A bipartite graph is by definition a graph for which the maximum cut cuts all edges. A graph that requires three colors is not bipartite. Okay, and so when we start getting into graphs that are three colors or more, require three colors or more, you start getting into non-trivial max cut problems. Okay, so there's sort of some sense in which this is connected a little bit to coloring, but graph coloring is a known computationally hard problem in general, and this is known as a computationally hard problem in general. So it's okay to think about graph coloring, but I don't think it's getting too far past what I just told you. Okay? Any questions? So what is your job to do? Your job is to take as input a graph and I give you describe the graph format in there, okay, in the document. And your job is going to be to read that graph in and to identify a partition that cuts the maximum number of edges, okay? And your job is to print out a partition that cuts the maximum number of edges. There might be many different partitions, but that cut the same number of edges. Okay? Can someone give me an example of that? Okay, so one example of a graph where you might have many, many different partitions that will cut the maximum number of edges. What if I give you a complete graph on six vertices? Meaning I have six vertices, and I connect every pair of edges together, every possible pair of vertices together. I haven't drawn it yet, but you know what I'm trying to do. I want to connect every possible pair of vertices together. What's the maximum number of edges I can cut in a complete graph on 2 times k vertices? What do you think is the best way to divide it up?
Every vertice is every vertice. Yeah, you're going to be more than one vertice, then you can be. They had it in that very scale by itself, like in one. The best you can do is 10.
Well, so you want to say the best thing you can do is to have one vertex on one side and 2k minus 1 on the other side?
Yes.
How many edges are you going to cut then? I mean, k minus 1 on the other side. Then you would cut k minus 1 edges, right? Is that the biggest possible cut you can get for this graph?
You add any other vertices, it's not one less vertices than you play at that point.
Oh, yes and no. You'll have an unused edge on this side. But look at what's going to happen. I claim that if you have one vertex on this side and k minus 1 on the other side, we agree you're going to cut k minus 1 edges, right? What if you have two vertices on this side and k minus 2 on this side? How many edges are you going to cut? 2 times k minus 2, right? Because each one of these is going to be connected to all of those, and this is going to be connected to all of those, right? So is that more? So how many edges might you be able to cut? What's the right way to do this if you want to maximize the number of edges that get cut? They give you a complete graph on 2 times k vertices. How many vertices should be on the left and how many on the right? So if you want to have k, again, if I k over 2 on this side and k over 2 on the other side, how many edges get cut? Something like k over 2 times k over 2, right? That's k squared over 4, okay, which is much larger than anything else, right? So you might cut a large number of edges, okay? And your job is given a graph to figure out which partition cuts the most edges. Any questions? Okay, for the special case of a tree, I know how to do it. For the special case of a complete graph, I know how to do it. For the general case of a graph, nobody knows how to do it. Okay? So we're not looking for an algorithm that will give us, that will always run efficiently. Because if you give me an n-cubed algorithm to solve this problem exactly for all graphs, your algorithm is wrong. Okay? What I want you to do is to write a procedure that is correct, and that you know is correct, because you've enumerated through all possibilities that might possibly be the largest cut. Any questions? Okay? Any questions? Yes?
It almost sounds like you're suggesting we hard-code all the special cases so they get tripled out fast, and then the non-special cases, which are the...
What I would be saying is, the first thing you should be doing is to think about the general case and not the special cases. Okay, the special cases are a good thing for you to know about because it gets you thinking about the problem where there might be ability to do better than pure brute force. And it gives you inputs where you know the answers to. Right? If you give it a graph that you know is a tree, and your program doesn't find all possible edges, then you know you've got an incorrect program, right? or if you gave it a complete graph, and it didn't kind of have, you know, this many edges, you know you've got an incorrect program. What I would say is to think about the general case and keep in mind these special cases, because maybe these special cases can help you in an interesting way. Not so much that I'm planning on giving you a tree, because I'm not, and not so much because I'm planning on giving you a complete graph, because I'm not. Okay? But you may be able to make some sense, you know, there may be some possibilities that you may be able to use some of these observations. I don't know. I'm not saying that with something in mind, but just saying that to get you thinking. Any questions? So what is your program supposed to do? Okay, a correct program to solve this problem. I will write out this correct program. For all 2 to the n subsets. Okay, of 1 to n. Count the edges cut by the subset. Okay? If bigger than anything I have, save it. And then basically, ultimately, at the end, print the biggest. Correct? Everybody agree that that is a correct program for solving this max cut? Can I say that again? Good question. Okay? I saw from the comments people had on the website that the people tell people did not like my handwriting. Understandable. I'll try to do that again. Sorry. For all 2 to the n subsets of 1 to n, meaning the number of vertices, count the number of edges cut according to that partition. So why do I say 2 to the n subsets? I'm going to enumerate through all the possible subsets for what can be on the left. Right? What if I give you a subset of what's on the left, what are the elements that are on the right? Can you tell me what elements are on the right if I tell you what elements are on the left? All the other ones, right? It's the, you know, set 1 through n minus the left. Okay? So basically, the interesting solutions are I'll count through every possible subset as the candidate for the left. For each possible subset, each subset I get, I'm now going to count how many edges got cut in that partition. If this is bigger than any one that I've seen, save it. Okay? If it is not bigger than anything that I've seen, discard it and move on. Okay? Yes? Well, the question is by who? Okay? Can it be completed in 1 minute? Okay? I mean, by God or by you? Okay? Well, what I'm going to say is the way that you're being graded here is I am deliberately going to be giving you large enough programs that everyone will not be, that everybody in here fails at some point. Okay? So I do not expect everybody to solve the largest file. I don't expect anybody to solve the largest file. And if you do, I will give you a larger file. Until I get to the point where I see where your program can't make it. Okay? Your program's going to run out of gas someplace. And the way that we're going to be judging your program are what is the largest file that you solve, basically up to all files of that size, within 1 minute of computer time. Okay? 1 minute of watching it. Okay? On your computer. Okay? So I'm measuring this in a fairly crude way because I can get away with it and get everything that I need to know. Your program is going to, if I give you a program of size of 5 vertices, and if it's a 5 vertices, maybe you can do it. 10 vertices. Your program is going to be able to handle inputs up to a particular size in a minute, and it will then take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 100 minutes to go to the next larger size. That is my prediction here. Why is that? What is the runtime of this algorithm as we talk about it here? What is it? What kind of exponential? What's the time? The complexity we have here, we have a graph here that has n vertices and m edges. What's the time complexity of this algorithm? 2 to the n times m, if you do it in a reasonable way. Okay? So if you're doing something like this, 2 to the n is growing exponentially. Maybe you could solve 2 to the, I mean, you know, if you could solve you know, size, you know, 30 in 1 minute. To go up to size 40, it is probably going to take you 1,000 times longer. This is why I know that 1 minute is sort of a reasonable time. Okay? If your program hasn't stopped running in a minute, you probably don't want to wait for it to finish. Okay? That's sort of why I'm grading it in this manner. If your computer is 2 times faster than me, or mine are 10 times faster than me, big deal. That's the difference between 1 minute and 10 minutes. Okay? That's, you know, and your programming language, maybe you'll use Java and that's slow compared to C. Maybe it's 100 times slower than, big deal. 100 times is not that big a difference. Okay? We're dealing with exponentials here. Okay? And so your program will eventually meet an input it will not be able to handle. Yeah. I want you to only give one cut that maximizes it. There might be many, many solutions that will give you the maximum cut. I don't want you to print them all out. For the simple reason, there might be an exponential number of solutions that are identical. Okay? Let's take a look at the complete graph. Any partition of the K over 2 vertices and K over 2 vertices will give you a max cut, right? So that gives you something like, you know, there would be something like, you know, sort of how do you choose N over 2, choose N. Different solutions to that graph, all of which realize the same size. And this is huge. I only want one solution. Okay? So I expect all of you will probably find different solutions in such a case. Okay? Yes?
So the test files have a maximum cut, like test files?
No, the test files will not have a maximum cut. So part of your goal is that you have to figure out whether your program is correct. Okay? Yes? 1 minute of looking at it. Same thing as 1 minute of time. Okay? In that, it's only a difference of 2 or 3. Okay? So basically, 1 minute, however you want to measure it, is fine with me. Okay? You're not going to beat me by how you measure 1 minute. Okay, you're going to beat me by designing a cleverer program. Okay? Yes? Okay, so what I am going to be expecting is the following. I am going to be expecting printouts, okay, where you print out your program, you print out the examples that you have run it on, show me what your solutions are, okay, and you tell me what the largest size that you got to. The programs that I then go to sort of basically access a certain number of selected solutions from you. Namely, the people who report fast times and the people who I'm suspicious about. Okay? And those people will be asked to produce code, okay, which I will then run to decide who the ultimate champion is. Okay? And who's the ultimate victim is. Any questions? Okay?
Is he not actually giving you code? Or just
at the moment, you're not handing in the code. A lot of people would rather hand in code. Okay? I'll tell you what, for now, let's say we're not handing in code. But it may actually, it may be that, I've always found it somewhat unwieldy to deal with too many solutions. But on the other hand, maybe some people have scripts now. I'll figure that out and I'll let you know before the last class we have to do. Okay? But right now, assume it's a printout, and unless I tell you otherwise.
Yes? Will we ever get a multigraph?
Will we ever get a multigraph? I think I will not give you a multigraph. Okay, and I think that's fair to say. If I do, let me know. Okay, so if you do get one, see one, you can tell me that. I'll see how I feel about it. Yeah.
What's a multigraph?
A multigraph is a graph where there are multiple edges between pairs of vertices. Okay, so you could have maybe if there's two cities and it's so important that you have multiple highways between them. Yeah. The graph does not have to be connected. Okay? So I don't guarantee you that the graph is connected. Okay? So that may or may not be an interesting thing to check for. Okay? I'm not trying to tell you I'm necessarily going to be giving you disconnected graphs either. Okay? But I'm not making it, I know how I think I'm going to generate these things. But it's not going to guarantee connectivity. Okay? Yes? Good question. I will generate these test files. So far, you don't see any real test files. I will be giving you more test files I am guilty that I have not given you more so far. I will be giving you more, and then they will appear on the website soon. How many people have wanted more test files and haven't gotten them so far? Okay, so you guys should start sending me hostile mail. Okay? Any questions? Okay? Any question about what the... any questions? So what I expect you to do is to try to do the brute force algorithm with less brute force. Okay? That's basically what I think I want you to do. Okay? I will tell you that somebody is going to come up with an idea. The following idea that you're going to come up with is wrong. Okay? Some people are going to be saying, well, for example, what if I put the vertices where I sort them according to degree or something like that? Okay? And I, one by one, I take the vertex and I put it on the side that cuts the most edges. Right? Let's say I have vertex 1 here and vertex 2 here, vertex 3 and 4 here. And vertex 5 has 3 vertices, it's adjacent to 3 edges on this side. Therefore, I'm going to put vertex 5 here. And vertex 6 is going to go on the side that's better for it. Okay? If you do that kind of a strategy, you will get a cut. But I have no reason to believe it is the correct cut, right? It may seem like a good heuristic, it may seem like a good idea, but there is no guarantee that it will be the biggest cut. Okay, and if I'm any good at generating test cases, it probably won't be the biggest cut. Okay? So what you've got to do is, the wrong way to approach this assignment is, oh, I've got an idea of something that will run fast, maybe it will be correct. The right way to think about this assignment is, I've got something that's correct, maybe it will be fast. Okay? Any questions? Okay? Yes?
So randomized, like,
algorithm,
the
kind of thing? Well, a randomized algorithm, what do you mean by a randomized algorithm? Throw them on different sides? Okay, well, now that may, will it defeat a purpose? It may or may not. Okay, I want at the end something that is guaranteed to be the best possible solution, right? Now, how do you get to the best possible solution? One way to do it might be to generate a good solution and then prove that it's the best solution. Okay, or use that to help eliminate things that might be worse solutions, right? So I can imagine a situation where if you quickly got something that was pretty close to the right answer, maybe that would be helping you do your search more intelligently. Okay? So I don't want to tell you that there's no chance that might help. Okay? There's things to be thought about. Okay? The important thing is at the end, you've got to have a reason for believe your program is always generating the correct answer. Okay? Programs that yield an incorrect answer are wrong, and they're worth nothing. Okay? Your goal is to produce the correct answer. Okay? A close but no cigar answer is no cigar. Any questions? Okay? So what I propose, the way that you should do this, I recommend that you do the assignment, okay, is think a little bit about, first of all, think about what you're doing. Think about the basic backtracking program. I put on the web the lecture notes that I used last class, where I illustrated my implementation of backtracking, okay? Which, you don't have to use, do not have to use it by any means, okay? But it might be it shows how I implement my generic backtracking. So when I have to do backtracking, how did I do it? I bet, let's review it very quickly. My generic backtracking procedure, my generic backtracking procedure looked like this. Okay. It built up a solution so far in an array A. Okay. Where one by one I'm extending the array by one element. Okay. So K is the number of elements in the array that have meaning. What do I do? Is my current value of my array a solution? If so, do what you want with it. If not,
add one decay so that you increment, you now extend the partial solution by another position. Construct a list of all the possible candidates for the kth position. And then, for each candidate, insert it into the, try it in the kth position, and then backtrack from here to see if you get a solution. If you do, it does whatever it does. But when you finish backtracking, it goes through and loops through and tries the next candidate, next candidate, next candidate. Okay? And this is the basic backtracking procedure. To incorporate it on any particular problem, you need to write three procedures. What is a solution? What is process solution? What is construct candidates? And to generate subsets, as I explained last class, this is all that you need to do it. I'm going to be representing a subset of length n by a bit vector of true false, n elements long, such that the ith element being true means that the ith element is in the subset. The ith element being false means the ith element is not in the subset. I have a solution when I have already stuffed n things and set them true and false. My set of candidates for the ith position are true or false, right? And how am I going to process a solution? Well, in this case, I happen to print it out, okay? But in your case, what you probably want to do is to say, okay, given what's on in the subset that's on the left, let me now count how many edges get cut. Okay? And if this is better than my previously largest cut, save it. Okay? And finally, to generate all the subsets, I need to call my backtrack function initially. And this says at the start, I have zero elements in my array set, and I want to end up with n of them. Any questions? So these notes are on the web. Okay? My recommendation is, for the simplest thing to do, first, okay, if you're confused by this, I don't know how backtracking works. It's very complicated. Okay? Start out by reproducing something that prints all subsets. Okay? And then once you've got it printing all subsets, then you've got at least the potential to do the naive algorithm. Okay? And maybe then do it and see how far you get. And then think, can I do something smarter? Okay? Can I avoid visiting all subsets? Okay? And then maybe by refining your solution, you can do better. Any questions? Okay? Any questions at all about this? Yes? What architecture? Well, you're going to be running your code program initially. You'll be running on whatever architecture you have. Okay? So run it on your whatever you want. You have a supercomputer at home, run it on that. Well, I will eventually run it on a machine. Okay? A machine I have access to at the time that seems reasonable. Okay? So, I would prefer it not to be, you know, somehow customized or can't run on. My dream would be it runs on my son's workstation. But if for some reason this is impossible, you know, let me know. Okay? Any questions? Okay? Any questions about the basic strategy? And I thought a little bit more about backtracking and how you speed up backtracking. But the important thing to do here is you will make sure that you can do the zeroth level solution and get that working reasonably quickly. As you can see, here is the zeroth level solution. It's not that much code. Okay? And I mean, I would say that the entire program could be written in 100 lines. Okay? Counting the input and counting the testing of the size of a cut. Okay? Get that working correctly, and then you're in a position of strength to start thinking about higher order things. If you're confused, if you feel, I know how to do this, I've done this kind of thing before, then maybe you may want to start by being more ambitious. But I would say keep it simple, okay, is my law. Okay, any questions? Okay? Very good. So let's talk a little bit more about any questions about the assignment at all. Okay, and this is to be done individually, okay, unlike the other homeworks, but this one's to be done individually. You have to write your own program. Any questions? Yes? Sorry, what is that? Okay, multi-threaded is allowed, but I will say pointless.
Okay.
How many machines, processors you've got on your multi-threaded machine? Well, when there's one machine, it's obviously pointless. If you have four processors, it's also pointless. It's only a factor of four speed up. Okay? What's probably better is, okay, not of course in parallel programming, okay, but what I will tell you is the money to be made is in cleverly brooding the search space, okay, and doing things cleverly, rather than by saying, oh, I will get a faster machine. I will write it in assembly language. I will use all the processors, okay? That I will claim is not where the money is, okay? Any questions? You're free to do it if you want, okay? I mean, I said anything, you're free to do whatever you want, okay? But that is my advice. Any questions? Okay? So
let me give you one last, let's see how I want to do this now. I want to talk a little bit about a successful speed up of a backtracking. Let me just summarize the program at the, again, these are just basically what I said, okay? Is that you must work on the assignment individually. If you don't understand what the maximum cut of a graph is, okay, it is impossible for your program to be correct. Make sure you understand what the problem is. Don't be afraid to ask for clarification or explanation. Okay? Without knowing the definition, it's hopeless for your program to succeed. I will be giving you a bunch of different files of different sizes. I recommend that you start working on the smallest program files first. Okay? So hopefully you get the first one with 10 vertices. Hopefully that runs pretty quickly. And you see where you hit a wall, okay? You may also want to create your own test files to help debug the program, okay? Because, again, I haven't told you what the, I'm not going to tell you what the size of the largest cuts here are, okay? So, you know, you may want to, you know, you have to, you know, be sure your program is correct, okay? Any questions? Okay? This is one reason why having a naive program that just enumerates through subsets and counts edges is good, because it's a lot harder to get that one incorrect than a more sophisticated program. Any questions? Okay. Again, you can be graded on how fast or clever your program is, not on style. So you can write it the way you want to write it. Okay. That said, does this mean you need comments in your program? Well, you don't need them from me, but you need them for you, okay? You are writing the program. You have to understand it, okay? And this always amazes me, okay? It amazes people when I tell them this. When I write a program, the part of the program I write first is the comments. Why? Because how else do I know what it's supposed to do? I'm sitting there at this terminal and I'm typing things, okay? How do I write programs? Well, I sit there and I start writing what my subroutine does and what the variable does. And then when I start writing and I see it doesn't work quite right, I go back and change my comments. The comments are what puts me into the mind of how I'm doing it. Okay? You may have your own style of programming, which may be different. Okay, probably not as good, but different. Okay? Do it as the way that you want it. Okay? But don't do things self-destructively to save a few keystrokes. Okay? That's my belief. You can run it on whatever thing you want it to do, you want it to run on. But somehow I should be able to be convinced that there's a real computer there. Okay, it should be vanilla enough. Don't tell me you're running it on the NSA supercomputer and I can't see it because it's, you know, they're using it to, you know, process intelligence from Iraq or something like that. That's bad. Your job is to turn in a listing of the program with basically any interesting optimizations and sample runs and the time it took. And what I really want to know is what is the largest test your program can handle in 1 minute or less of wall clock time, meaning while you're sitting there running it, okay, waiting. Any questions? And like I said, I will take the best recorded times and sizes and use that to try to judge a winner. Any questions? Yes?
Maximum timing, you need a watch.
Well, a watch, okay, but I need to be timing this with a sundial even. I mean, it's really, you know, you need to basically know about 1 minute. Okay, if it took a minute and 5 seconds, it's not a different than 1 minute. Okay? But, I mean, if you sit there for an hour, you're wasting an hour of your life. Okay? And that's a pointless thing also. Okay? So about a minute is what I'm looking for. Really, a minute should be your barrier.
Okay, yes. Yes, so I've told you in the, what do you call it? I tell you in the assignment sheet what is the format of the file. And it looks like I am telling you first the number of edges, then the number of vertices. Then I am telling you, giving you edges listed as pairs of vertices, numbered from one to the number of vertices. Okay? So that's about as easy a format to parse as I can give you. Any questions? Okay? That shouldn't be too hard to read. Any questions? Okay? The other question, I'll give you a story, a hopefully inspiring story in a few minutes of how I produced a very fast search program once. Okay? But let me just give you some advice while we're talking about it. The first notion is don't optimize prematurely. Okay? So there's different ways you can write backtracking. Some you can do backtracking with recursion, like I did, or you can do it with iteration. Okay? And maybe one is faster or better than another. Okay? I will tell you that probably is not, you know, it's silly to worry about these lower order things until you figure out at the higher order how do you prune the search tree? How do you eliminate searching through as many subsets as possible? You want to lower, not, you don't want to improve the order M stuff. I mean, if you can improve order M to order M over 2, that's great. You've made it run twice as fast. But this is where the money is in speeding up your program, is reducing from 2 to the N to 2 to the N over 2, okay, or something like this, okay? So I encourage you to focus on the big term before you worry about the little term, okay? Any questions? Okay, so the right way to think about it is think at the high level, how do you minimize the amount of search you need to do? Okay, you think about what data structures you're doing. How are you going to do the test for maximum cut as quickly as possible? There might be a good way or a bad way to do it. How do you represent your data in here? The final trick that I'll tell you is that there are programs called profilers, okay, that that for whatever your favorite programming language is, there exists a profiler, which is a program which will tell you, when you run your program, where did it spend its time. So one thing that's, when you start out at this, you're going to be starting to write a correct, simple program. Then you're going to try to improve it. At some point, you're going to be saying, gee, where is my program spending all of its time? Because the place to improve it is where it's spending all of its time, right? How do you know where your program is spending all of its time? I can tell you that if you guess, you're going to guess wrong, okay? Because you probably would have fixed it right if you thought this was a problem, okay? And a device, if so, if you have access to a profiler, something like in C, there's something called GProf, okay? That's my profiler that I use. It's probably a Java profiler, too, or something like that, okay? What's it called?
HProf,
okay? So I would recommend that when you're actually trying to tweak it, the profile, let the profiler guide what you're doing. Okay? Any questions? Talk more about that later. I mean, it's up to you to figure out. This is not algorithms, but this is just. So when you look for the final factor 10 speed up, this is probably the way you go. Okay? When you're looking for the first factor 100, 200, 1,000 speed up, you should be looking at the search level. Any questions? Okay. So,
good luck, and I hope that I look forward to seeing some fast programs here. Okay, any questions? Like I said, prizes will be given to both the fastest and slowest programs, and you do not want to win the slowest prize. Any questions? Okay, so let's look at a story, which is one of the worst stories in the book, but of an attempt I once wrote to write a fast search program.
And we'll see how you can speed up search programs if you know what you're doing, if you're a little clever about it. Okay, and a little cleverness can go a long way. So the problem that we were once working on, something I did in grad school with a couple of friends, we had heard that there was a problem that had been posed in 1849 of, given an 8x8 chessboard, you know that there are 8 powerful pieces and 8 pawns on each side, right? You've got a queen, a king, 2 bishops, 2 knights, 2 rooks. Is there a way that you could put the 8 pieces, the 8 powerful pieces on the chessboard, such that every single square on the board is threatened? Okay? Here I have put down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 pieces on the board. I claim that 63 out of 64 of the squares are threatened in this configuration. Can anyone find this piece that's not threatened? Which square is not threatened? Okay, I don't remember where it is, so I'd like somebody to find it. Okay? Again, it's rook, bishop, queen, king, knight. Okay? Does anybody have anything to find? Right above the knight, you mean over here? You mean the one that's threatened by that bishop? No. This one? The one that is threatened by that knight?
I think it's the one between the leftmost rook and the bishop.
Leftmost rook and the bishop?
The one right on top of that.
This?
So that the bishop moves.
Wait, what about that rook?
Okay.
The upper left, though. The upper left of the top right row. This one here.
Okay, so that's not going to do it.
Let's see which one we can find. Here.
Okay.
Let's see.
That kind of pieces of the pieces of city.
That's an interesting question. The pieces themselves. Actually, that's an interesting question. The pieces themselves have to also be threatened. Okay. So you're right. So it's fair to point to a piece with something on it. Okay. So that might actually be one.
The lower left corner.
The lower left corner.
Yeah, the rook.
Rook's taking care of all of these.
This
knight over here? This knight over here, I believe, is the one that is not threatened. Right? Because there's nobody who can threatening this particular square. Right? If this bishop wasn't here, the rook would be taking him out. But this is the one square that is not being threatened. Okay? Does everybody agree with that? It's clear that every other piece is being threatened. The queen is taking out the bishop is taking these two guys, the queen is threatening the king. Who's threatening this rook? I believe that the queen is threatening that rook. The bishop is threatening this guy. Who's threatening this? The rook is. So the only square that is not is that knight. Okay? So back in 1849, someone had found that 63 squares could be threatened and asked if you could threaten 64 of them. And nobody knew the answer, okay? And so the question is, could we use a computer to try to figure out, is there a configuration where all 64 squares are all 64 squares are threatened, okay? Any ideas how we could make this as a search program? Let's think about it. Why don't you guys try to solve this, okay? How might we write a program to solve this problem? Okay, yep.
Groupbus every single possible. Well, that's not a bad idea. That's sort of what I'm telling you. But how many possible are there? Let's think how brute is the brute force.
Okay, so what is the way that you want to represent a solution? What is the complexity of this? How many configurations are there of interest? So what do you want to plan? So what you want to say here is that for the first piece, so what possibility is, you're saying that here you've got the queen, the king, the bishop, knight, rook. You're saying that there's 64 possibilities here for where the queen can be, 64 possibilities for the this other thing. That would give you something like 64 to the 8th. Anybody have a calculator enough to figure out what 64 to the 8th is? Okay, it's a lot. But how much is a lot? This is 2.8 times 10 to the 14th. Okay? Now, when I'm doing searches, again, I'm an old man. I've been at this business for a while. I used to think that a million was a large number. Okay, a million was where my threshold was between a large number and a non-large number. This was done back in 1988, okay? So computers are a lot faster than they used to be. And so maybe now 10 million is a large number or 100 million is a large number. But let's say that a million was a large number and that you could search through a million possibilities per second or something like that. Okay? A million is what? 1 times 10 to the 6th? Is that what a million is?
So if you have to search through a million possibilities per second, let's say your program's fast enough to do a million things per second, how many seconds do you need to do this thing? Okay? How many seconds? 10 to the 8 seconds. What is 10 to the 8 seconds? Okay? In terms of, it's a lot, but how many, just for sort of so we feel good about ourselves? How much is 10 to the 8 seconds? 100 million seconds. How many seconds are there in a year? Okay, I should probably, it's 24 times 60 times 60 is 306,600 per hour, 20 hours times that, it's something like 84,000 seconds in a day, right? Multiply that by 300, let's multiply it by 1,000 just for the sake of it, okay? In 1 year, we're up to about 100 million or so. I think it's probably less, it's less than that, okay? And that gives us 10 to the 6th. This says that in 100 years, at a million per second, we would be done, okay? So if they'd been smart enough to start the program back in 1849, it would have been done before I had started doing this, okay? Any questions? So that's not, so brute force, this is still too brute to force. Okay, does everybody sort of agree with that? So how can we do this better? Does everybody agree we could have done this by just enumerating those possibilities? Okay? How might we do this better? Okay? Avoid searching all such things. Okay? So first of all, let's think about this a little bit. If I think about how would we even do this, let's write a program for doing this. How would you do this during using backtracking? Using my backtracking shell. What would your A representation be, your vector of solutions be? Okay. Any idea? How would you represent one of these solutions? Yeah? So, all the pairs of what the pieces should be. Not sure I understand this. Any other ideas?
Coordinates for each piece.
Coordinates for each piece. So one possibility would be that I represent my vector as basically being A. A1 is going to tell me where my queen is, and it runs from 1 to 64. A2 is the queen, it represents, it runs from 1 to 64, bishop 1 to 64, and so on. Okay? And then basically, what would I do in backtracking? I'd put down, what are the possible candidates for each position? Basically, it's the possible squares that haven't been used. So I'm going to put down the first piece. I'll put the queen, the 64 possibilities for the queen. I put the queen first in 1. I then go to the king position. What are the possible positions for the king position? Okay. What? Okay, 2 to 64. Okay? And I could keep doing this kind of backtracking. What are the procedures I need to write? Okay? I need to write my candidates. How do I consider what are the candidates for the ith position? What are the possible squares I can put down on the ith position? Anything that wasn't used previously, is that all that I can do? Is everything else a possible candidate? Well, I'm trying to do this as quickly as possible, right? You're saying that somehow what I would want to do is to be careful here. And when I put down a piece, let's say I put down a king here and a queen here, and I want to put a rook over here. I know I can't put a rook over here, right? Because it will already be threatened by this, and vice versa, right? So I claim that what I really should be putting down are the list of possible candidates here that are not already threatened by something up back there. That sort of clear? Okay.
thought the keys had been sold both times.
You do what?
I thought the keys had been sold both times.
Okay, wait a second. 100% right. 100% right. Let me back up. Right? We're getting the eight queens problem in my head. But you're right. So what we're doing is here, I see. So what you're saying now is, what you want to do is, you say you don't want to put the queen on the same position, king on the same position as a queen. And then what you would do is construct all possibilities. And then at the end, do what? Ask how many squares are threatened, right? And that's how you could do it, right? So if you do this, you can write a program now. We just described how you can write a program that will run in 100 years, at least back then. Okay, and find whether it's true or not. Okay, any questions? Does everybody see, again, this is an important point before we get to pruning. Does everybody see that now we can solve this problem by just customizing our backtracking solution, saying we have a solution if we have put down eight pieces and every board is threatened, then we print it out and become famous. Okay? We generate the candidates, a position as a candidate if the previous positions, if it isn't, hasn't been stepped on by any of the previous pieces so far in the vector, right? That's what the candidates are. And what would be the other, and then what's the other procedure we need to do? Construct candidates, print a solution, is it a solution, and then process a solution, right? Process solution meant we're famous. Okay? So really that's the entire backtracking program for doing this. Any questions about that? But how can we avoid constructing all 10 to the 14th vectors? Okay? Is there a way we can avoid constructing all of them? Any ideas here? Yeah? Okay, so what you're trying to say, that you may be saying two different things. So let's make sure we see what you're saying here. Is what you're proposing that you put down the next piece, that you pick the position of the queen, king, so as to threaten the most possible squares? Okay? So what you're really saying here is generate the list of candidates, but pick them in such a way that order them in such a way that the squares that threaten the most get looked at first before the others. Is that what you're saying, or not quite? Okay. There's a couple different ways that you're saying it, one of which is right, and the other one of which may or may not be a good idea. Okay, or maybe a good idea in a different way. Okay? So there's two things that you might be saying. Okay? One of them is that when we're doing this search, we're free to order the candidates. Right now, the way we've been talking about doing it, we're putting down the queen, we're putting down the king, we're going to put down a bishop. One possibility is that she orders the set of candidates so that she investigates the most promising moves first before she investigates the less promising moves. Okay, does everybody agree that she's got that freedom? So for example, if we're putting down the queen, there's 64 possibilities to put down the queen. Hey, maybe I'll start trying to put it in the corner. Is that likely where the queen is going to be doing the most damage? Probably not. So maybe one idea to speed this thing up, certainly if you're hoping to get a solution quickly, one idea that might be useful is to reorder the moves so that they're in this kind of an order. Okay? And so that you try the most promising positions first, knowing that you will have to try them all to make sure of correctness eventually, right? Okay, so everybody see that that might be a winning technique. You have the freedom to order the positions, okay? Although, you know, you have to visit them all. You may have to visit them all if you're unlucky. Okay, any questions? Yeah? You might want to what? So you're saying that the ordering in which you're putting down pieces, you're saying that, this may be the other thing you were trying to say originally, is that maybe it's a bad idea, you're not happy putting the king down here. Why is that? You're saying that if you want to cause as much damage as quickly as possible, you shouldn't be putting the moves, the pieces that don't threaten very many squares down before you put down the other pieces. Everybody agree with that? So in fact, what would be the right order to put the pieces down? Okay, the queen, the king can threaten how many squares? Eight? The queen can threaten how many? Turns out it's 27. Okay, how about the bishops? I think it's 13. How much for the knights? I think it's 8. How many for the rooks? 14 and 14. So in fact, what you're probably saying is that to speed this thing up, to maximize the chances, you want to put your heavy artillery down first. Okay, that might be a freedom you have, right? If you search the whole search space, it doesn't matter what order you're looking for. But if you're looking for a first big solution to become famous, maybe a better strategy is to put the queen down, then the rook, the bishop, the knight, the king. Okay? Any questions? Is this going to help you if there is no solution, though? No. Okay? I got bad news.
No solution.
Okay? But you have to prove that there's no solution. It's not enough for me to say there's no solution. Okay, people said that back in 1849. The question is how do you prove it? Okay? So when you agree that these are good ideas, and when you're thinking about your max cut problem, that might be good ideas to think about. You have that freedom, how you use it. But is there any way we can avoid looking at all possible subsets, all possible ordering positions of pieces? Okay? Are we really doomed to look at all of them? Yeah. I see. So what you're saying here is, can we exploit symmetry? Okay? And this is a very good idea. Okay? What do we want to know about? Suppose, let's say, we have an ordering. Let's say this is our chessboard, where the winning answer had the queen in this corner. What would happen if we turned our head 90 degrees? Would we still have a solution? Yeah. Okay. What if we turned our head and we stood on our head? It would still be a solution, right? So can we avoid searching for all those possibilities? Okay, how do we avoid doing this? Let's think about this. We agree this is a good idea, right? Does everybody agree with that? How do we use symmetry to avoid looking at all possibilities? Okay, how do we take advantage of that? Okay. Any ideas, concrete ideas how to do that? Yeah. Well,
if you partition that into four by four grids.
Yeah.
The thing is, as soon as you venture outside one of those 4x4 grids, you know, if you're working on, for example, a specific one, you're screwing up the symmetry.
Okay.
So you have to somehow stay within it.
So how would we do that? Let's think how we would do that. It's a good idea. How do we do that? How do we implement this idea that we never consider putting a queen outside this first quadrant? How do we massage our solutions to do that? Right? Yeah? Okay, so how do we instantiate this thing? How do we work this into our backtracking program to avoid searching for all 64 possible positions for the queen? What do we do?
What you're saying now is, instead of starting out with the queen as being on any possible position from 1 to 64, why don't you just, I don't know how you assign the numbers here, 1, 2, 3, 4, probably the next one is 9, 10, 11, 12, the next one is probably, what is it, 6, 17, 18, 19, 20, the next one is, what is it, 25, 26, 27, 28. Is that right? Basically right. Okay? If I limit my queen to only being on these positions, I claim that I never need to search anything else, right? If I restrict my queen positions, instead of having 64 possible queen positions, I just limit myself to the 16 positions, which are like this, I know I haven't missed anything, right? Does everybody agree with that? Okay. So think about it. By this tiny little change, I just cut my front arm by a factor of 4. Does everybody agree with that? Okay. This feeds goes to my parallel processor multi-threading business. Okay. Any questions? Okay. So now we've cut the search time by a factor of 4. Is there any other symmetry or any other ideas we can get?
Bishops can only be on half of the squares.
Okay. So if we restrict the bishops to being on their own color, which may or may not be in the rules of the problem, okay? So it depends about whose problem you're trying to solve. But if we did, how much would that solve this, cut this space down by? That would cut it in half. It's now down to 32 by 32. You cut off another factor of 4, right? Yeah? So in fact, there's another trick you can use. Okay? You don't have to actually look at all 16 of these possibilities. Because what if you actually drew a mirror, stuck your mirror in the middle of the board, okay, and reflected the positions through the diagonal part? This may be a little bit hard to see. Okay? But in fact, if you convince yourself of it, you only need to look at those positions, right? So there's another dimension of symmetry, this mirror symmetry. And I claim that, in fact, there are only 10 possible positions, okay? So if you're clever, in fact, you can get away with only using 10 possible choices for the queen, okay? Yes?
Well, I mean, each time you're moving one piece, like you're piece in the board.
Yeah,
you're moving one, you're checking everything. You're moving one, you're moving the piece again, you're checking everything. To me, you can just use some kind of dynamic programming where you're mapping with other 7 pieces you're covering, you're not checking with different
ones. Okay, so now you're saying you might want to use dynamic programming. Well, let's think what that means. Okay, so you don't want to recalculate things. That's a possibility. But what is the size of your dynamic programming matrix? Okay? If in fact you are storing every possible solution, okay, then you have got 10 to the 14th possible things that you're storing in your matrix, your memory. So in fact, what you really do, everything of what you're storing that you can store, if you're storing the value of every position so far that you have seen, well, that's 10 to the 14th space. Okay? So it's not clear to me how much, know what you can do there. Okay? Dynamic programming turns out to be very useful in what I will call problems where the solutions are sort of ordered. Okay, we didn't really go into this, it's more a philosophical point. Okay? But so strings were nice. Because strings, the characters were ordered from left to right, and you only had to worry about the prefix from here to here. Here your state is the value of this and the value of that and the value of that. The size of your memory that you need is going to grow, at, you know, grow with the number of positions. Okay? So I don't see that one as a winner. Okay? Any questions? Okay? But we do see, does everybody see that symmetry at least saves you a factor of 4? And if you're clever, saves you a factor of 10. Okay? And depending upon your white and black bishop rules, you might save another factor of four. Okay? Any questions? Any other ideas as to how we can save space, save time? Okay? Is there any way we can rule something out before we have completely evaluated it? Okay, pruning. What is pruning? Okay, pruning is a tree, right? You've got this tree growing. Now, what does someone do with pruning shears? They cut off branches, right? Can you avoid searching everything? Yes.
Let's say you were doing the pruning shears.
I see. Now, this is a potentially big win. Suppose, let's say, after we put down the first five pieces, we have are threatened, not threatening 33 squares. Okay? Let's say there's 33 squares that are still unthreatened after you put down the first five pieces. Right? How many squares can we threaten with this guy? 8, 8, 8. Is there any possible way we can put these guys down so as to threaten all the pieces? Everybody see that? It's hopeless. Okay? We can stop our search at this point and immediately say there is no move that will cause us, no way to extend this, that we can possibly work. Right? Does everybody sort of see that logic? So here's where, in fact, the ordering the pieces from biggest to smallest not only helped us if there was a solution, but in fact turned out to be a good idea if there is not a solution. Because we can prune based on strength. The remaining strength that we have, even if we got as optimal as possible, we could only hope to cover 24 squares. If there are 25 or more holes, you can't finish it, and we can backtrack from here. Does everybody sort of see that? Yes? Why did I do that at all points? That's exactly right. Why did I ask myself here, after I put down the queen, how many spaces are left to be covered? Do I have enough firepower to possibly cover it? Okay? If so, go for it. If not,